You are listening to Sermon Snippets with Max Taylor, where we exposit God's Word and apply its instruction to our everyday lives. As we study God's Word, we are learning truth that corrects our thinking, meets our needs, and teaches us more about Christ. Here's your host, Max Taylor.
We're going to be jumping right into Daniel chapter 10. And so while you're finding your place there, we're going to be going through this chapter rather quickly, especially compared to the amount of time that we spent in Daniel chapter 9, kind of a big prophetic section that we drew out a lot of lessons from and looked at some of the timeline and chronology regarding those events prophetically and historically from our point of view now. But in Daniel chapter 10, we're not going to spend that much time. However, it is very important, the lessons and the application that we can get out of Daniel chapter 10. And that's really what I want us to focus on. Not so much on every element of symbolism or every verse or word in and of itself, but I want us to really just focus on the one major application of spiritual warfare, which is really important for us to understand, especially in this time, in this age that we live in, where there is a lot of confusion about the spiritual world. And I think it'll be good, hopefully, to clarify some of those things and also to give us encouragement about this topic that either is not very addressed very much and it's kind of neglected, or when it is taught, it's probably taught incorrectly. So let's get some encouragement out of this passage, this experience that Daniel shares with us here in Daniel chapter 10. Starting in verse 1, we're going to begin to see how he begins this is basically by giving the reaction that he has. And then we're going to, as we go into the first couple of verses, we're going to kind of get some background. So you'll kind of see the timing as he writes. It's interesting to kind of understand Hebrew literary form. Okay, so he starts out by giving kind of an overview and kind of the reaction that he has. It says in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So he gives kind of his intro in verse 1, kind of the overview, the conclusion of it, you could say, and then now he's backing up, and he's going back to the beginning in verse 2. So here's the background. He says, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel," Hiddekel is the Hebrew name for the Tigris River, Tigris being the Greek. So this is the Tigris River. It's a little more familiarly known as, so the Hiddekel. Verse 5, as he's there, it says, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." So we're not going to really get into this description, but quite a description of this angel, this messenger who came to Daniel here. Now he says in verse 7, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep, on my face, and my face toward the ground." So just to recap here, so far, Daniel has spent 3 weeks trying to understand, trying to study God's word. It says that he was so intent on gaining understanding that during those days he didn't eat any pleasant bread. He didn't anoint himself with oil. So basically he was just in a state of distress, trying to understand, trying to study God's word. And at the end of that time, this angel came to him, appeared to him by the river, and this is the vision that he's describing. So that's kind of what's taken place up to this point. Now, picking up in verse 10, it says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." Now, this is a really important foundation, this the way that the angel introduces himself to Daniel. He calls him a man greatly beloved, and it shows the foundation of God's love for us. God doesn't put us through trials. He doesn't withhold his answers or his wisdom from us in order to be cruel to us in some way, or in order to hurt us. God ultimately loves us, and we don't always understand. We don't always see the big picture correctly. That's why it requires faith, but we know and we're reassured of the fact that God does everything for us motivated by his love. And that's so important that the angel brought that up right at the beginning. And then he says, "I am sent to give you understanding." That's another important fact. God's word is not supposed to be a mystery. God doesn't want his will to be hidden from us. Now, sometimes it takes a long time. As Daniel says, he kind of gives his takeaway right there in verse 1. It says, "The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing." So it's saying he eventually got understanding, and he knew that the word was true, and he was confident in what he was told, but it took a long time to get to that point. There was patience involved. So two really important things right there in verse 11. We're going to keep going, though, so we can get kind of all the big picture here. Verse 12, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel," another key point there, "for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shalt befall thy people," speaking again to the Jews here, we've kind of seen that a lot, "in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how shall the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me." I think it's important that this keeps being emphasized, and we'll talk about it in a second. But continuing in verse 18, it says, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and he said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou whitherfore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." So that's the entire vision recorded in chapter 10, but I want to really highlight some of the main things in this section. First off, when it comes to spiritual warfare, we have to understand that this is something that we are going to face. We're not exempt from it. It's not fun. It's not easy. But we do have spiritual enemies. The devil is called our adversary. Ephesians 6, which is the armor of God chapter, it talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And that can take many forms. It can take, as in the case of Daniel, it can take the form of silence, where we don't hear from God, where it seems as though God is absent. That's a form of spiritual warfare. Think of the example of Job, where he didn't know the reason of his testing. That is intense spiritual battle, where we have to exercise faith. We have to rely upon Christ for strength. So we have to understand we're going to face spiritual attack, and we should be prepared with the armor of God. Secondly, God is sovereign, and he is more powerful than our spiritual enemies. This is a key point, because many in the charismatic word of faith type movements, the New Apostolic Reformation, reject this, but that is unbiblical. God is sovereign. Anything that comes into our life is there because God gives permission for it, and God can use it. It's not always sent directly from God, but God allows it to happen in our life because God is more powerful than any of our spiritual enemies. Number three, though, spiritual warfare needs to be addressed through Christ, and this is important. Notice how many times in this passage Daniel was described as being weak. He was on the ground, had no strength, and then it says a man came to him and strengthened him. See, in our spiritual warfare, when we are struggling, when we just don't see God's will, when we are under intense spiritual persecution or oppression, we do not have strength in and of ourselves to confront those spiritual wickednesses. We have to rely on Christ and rest in him. He's the one who had strength, who conquered death, who conquered the devil. And it's Christ. We are not in any position, as some of the modern charismatic movements teach. We cannot call out the devil. We cannot rebuke demons. We cannot perform any kind of spiritual engagement or interaction with these demonic forces. That's not our position. That's Christ's position. We rely on him through prayer, just as Daniel did. And thankfully, remember, God's love ultimately protects us. And we have his word, as mentioned in verse 21, his word is our guide. So hopefully that's an encouragement for us as we face spiritual warfare. It's not easy. It requires a lot of discernment and faith, but it's a valuable part of the Christian's maturity and conformity into the image of Christ. And we can find joy even in this. Hey, if you enjoy studying books, and you know, one of the things that I do in preparation for this podcast is I read a lot of commentaries. And we are starting a new podcast called Give Attendance to Reading that focuses more on the reading aspect. Not always is it going to be a book that's a Bible study or devotional book, but we are going to be giving summaries of what we read in Christian literature, applying it to ministry, kind of talking and discussing the different applications and the implications to our lives and ministry. So if you're interested in hearing a little bit more about reading or listening in to some of these great resources, I'd recommend you go check that out and subscribe to the Give Attendance to Reading podcast. The first episode's going to drop at the end of March. We'd love to have you listen in. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Sermon Snippets. If this Bible study is a help to you, consider downloading the weekly episodes or sharing this podcast with a friend. Until next time, remember that God's Word is perfect, and it's everything you need to live for Him.